If you think back, for those of us that were here on Lord's Day, and if you weren't, we'll fill you in. We think back on Lord's Day, we looked at the awe of God. In fact, we've made mention a couple of times that the subject of godliness can be seen as a triangle. And it has three points. One point is the fear of God. And we talked about that being the reverential awe of who God is. Getting to know Him in that sense. Not getting to know about Him, but getting to know Him. Getting to know His holiness. Getting to know His sovereignty in your life and the difference that that makes. And all those attributes that we looked at on Lord's Day. So the fear of God on one corner. The other corner we looked at yesterday. We're going to call it the love of God. Devotion from our hearts to Him. That is in our private life. And it overflows into our public life. But yesterday we looked at the private life. And I enjoyed Steve's final thought yesterday that we're not to seek a public life. The public life flows out of our private life. And it is what we are. And what we are in private comes out publicly. And that's kind of the point here, because the top pinnacle of the point is the fear of God, and then the love of God, and then a desire for God. A desire for the glory of God to be seen and displayed throughout my life. And that brings us into the thought of service for God. And just another point by way of introduction for today's study is that the last couple of days we read Philippians chapter 2. And in my Bible it reads that you know His proven character. Or another translation said the proof of His character. And I want us to think about that. He had a proven character. What He was in private was displayed in public. And it was part of who He was that enabled Him to serve His God. And in connection with that, able to serve the Apostle Paul as well. So He had a proven character. And because of that proven character, the Apostle Paul could call Him a man of God. A term that's used very seldom in Scripture. In fact, it's only used once in the New Testament. And that's in connection to Timothy. But it's used seven other times, only seven other times in the Old Testament. And I want us to think just for a minute. I want to ask a question now, and again, we want feedback, we want discussion back and forth. But I want to ask a question in regards to that term, O man of God. Who is another one that was called a man of God? Anybody?
Moses.
Moses, okay. That's one. Another one.
Elijah,
good. Another one.
Elisha.
Elisha, okay, good. Who else?
The man of God from Tishba, was there?
Okay, in 1 Kings 13?
Yeah.
Good, okay. Another one.
I think David was.
David, good. David was called a man of God in the book of Nehemiah, I think it's chapter 12. He's called a man of God, good. Who else? That's five, I think, if I'm counting right. Samuel, good. There is a reason I'm asking you this. We'll get to that in just a second. There's one more I don't think we got. Oh, yeah, Timothy. Okay. I got to count. Moses, Samuel, Elijah, David, Timothy, Elisha, and the man of God in First Kings, right? Okay, now when we think of all of them, in your mind, think of all of them, what did they all have in common? Besides the fact that they're called men of God. There's a real unique tie to all of them.
It's in times of failure.
Exactly. Very good. And elaborate, if you would.
Especially for the house of God and the people of God, that... It's mentioned, I think your reference in Nehemiah was actually Ezra chapter 3. That's where David and Moses are called the man of God. Double check that. Right. Well, why don't we turn to Ezra chapter 3.
It's also Nehemiah 12:24.
Moses, the man of God, chapter 3, verse 2. And furthermore, I thought David was called the man of God here as well.
But go ahead.
But it's man of God, the title is used in failure. We think of Elisha, where he was, he fed a widow, and it was a impoverished time. And and it's always in times of failure that that these testimonies are raised up. Much as I want to elaborate.
That's good. That's exactly what I had in mind. That godliness, a godly character, a proven godly character to be able to call Timothy a godly man is when there's a spiritual breakdown, when there's a departure from what God has given, the instruction that God has given, God raises up a man, or we can say men or women, that would have such a character. And he's looking for that today. He is looking for men and women who would have godly character that would be proven in their private life, tested out in their public life, that he might be able to use them in service for him. And that's the thing that all of these individuals have in common. In fact, when we look at Timothy, and I don't want to spend time on this because I want to get into, I don't want to run out of time at the end like we did yesterday, but we look at Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, the first three verses, and we can see the departure that Timothy lived in. Okay, even then, he mentioned that the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. So, God was raising Timothy up. Okay, and when we get into 2 Timothy, he reminds us that savage times will come. I think the word is perilous times, but it actually means savage times. It's only a word used only one other time in the New Testament. It's about the man with the demon in him. And so that's the kind of times that are coming yet. And that's the kind of times that you and I are beginning to live in. And so godliness is necessary for us today. If we're really going to serve the Lord, there needs to be godliness in our life. A proven character in our life. So look at this portion, alright? And let's think if we can come up with some characteristics that would describe such a man of God. And before we get to there, let me just outline this section for you in connection with our study. On Lord's Day, we had the awe of God, recapturing the awe of God, right? If you look at verse 15 and 16, that there is one potentate, one sovereign Lord. Paul would have Timothy to be occupied with the awe of who God is. He is the potentate. He is, as he's put it here, he is alone, has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light. Think of that. Whom no man can see. Has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting glory or everlasting power. This is that potentate. This is that one that we stand in awe of. And so in verse 15 and 16, we have the awe of our lesson from Lord's Day. Then yesterday's lesson, verse 11, we're going to look at that. Verse 11, we have the private life. Verse 12 to 14, we have the public life and what we're talking about today. So with that kind of as an outline, let me ask the question again. What are some characteristics, and you don't have to stay in this passage, you can go other places, but characteristics that would describe a man of God?